Man, good. Good singing this morning. Man, appreciate your singing. Appreciate your faithfulness, man. I was looking over at Brother Sharp here, and he's been going through treatments. Got another one tomorrow. And, man, I appreciate his faithfulness to the house of God. He's going to be in God's house. And so thankful for that. And y'all pray for that. Pray for him as he's dealing with that here over the next several weeks. And others, too. Man, just brought that to mind. Thank you for all y'all for being here this morning. Appreciate your faithfulness. And Brother Jason will come read the scripture for us.
All right, turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23. Man, what a great spirit here today. Man, the singing. Usually when I sing over here, I can hear myself. Today I was drowned out. It was great. I don't know if it's these young guys right here or not, but it was really, really good. Man, great. Great song service, great songs, and man, what a, you know, one thing that you want to make God, you want God to be pleased with you, and you want God to be happy with what goes on. I also think of my dad, and man, I want him. I don't want to leave that spirit or lose that spirit that he came here with, and God gave him. And man, I feel it this morning. It's really, really a great spirit here this morning. So great to be in God's house. Joshua chapter 23, read verses 1-3. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said to them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Let's pray. God, we so thank you, Lord, for another time we can come to your house, Lord. Thank you for the prayer meeting this morning, Lord. And Lord, we know that, Lord, that prayer is what moves so many things. So many things, Lord. And I'm so thankful, Lord, we got to pray this morning for this place and for different things, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that this is a house of prayer, Lord. And it's a place where we can come and pray to you. And God, it's a place we can come and worship you, Lord, as we worship you in song this morning. And Lord, it thrills my soul, Lord, to hear all just singing out, Lord, and song to you, songs that glorify you, Lord, and that we can just come and worship you and get away from the world, get away from all those things, Lord, that, Lord, some struggles, some trials, some different things. We're talking about health things, Lord, and Lord, just get somewhere, Lord, and be here and focus on Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you'd be with the message hour, Lord. We know that you're here with us, God. We pray that you would be with the message, Lord. We do pray for, Lord, if there's anyone here that's not saved, Lord, that today would be their day of salvation, Lord, and how it will change their life. And, Lord, how Jesus Christ, you changed my life and how you changed the lives of those that have gotten saved. God, thank you for all that you do. Be with the message hour. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Good. Thank you. And again, thank you for the music this morning, man. Always a great job. Appreciate the choir. And then Mrs. Antic with the special. And then Mrs. Hayes with the offertory. And I would say thank you, congregation, for drowning out Brother Jason. But he sings so well. He has such a great voice. So he joined in with y'all. But thank y'all for the good music this morning. We're in Joshua chapter 23. And, you know, as we get into, we've been going through a series here through the book of Joshua, and we'll be finishing this up in the next few weeks. But I was thinking about this this week. Man, we've, over the last couple of years, we've heard so much information on COVID, right, the last 2 years that we never, more than we ever desired to hear. And this morning is not, I don't want to get sidetracked here, it's not a we understand what it is, and we've had, man, affected people in our church. We had Pastor Brown just in a week and a half ago, lost a couple of family members to that. But I thought, you know, one of the things that, and this is off topic, I'll get back to what I'm talking about in a second, but one of the things we've dealt with over the last couple of years when COVID started that was different, at least as what we were told, not that there would be any agenda, all right, out there, but is one of the things we've done differently is we've tested people that are well, right? And that's something that I never had heard of. I don't know about you, but maybe you have some point in your life you've driven by a pharmacy or by the doctor's office, said, hey, you know, I just want to stop in and get a strep test, or get a flu test. I feel fine, but you know, just in case I might have the flu, I'm going to sort of ride by and jump in there. Could y'all test me? I've never done that before, all right? Never have, and never had a desire to. But I was reading something this week, and this is from the CDC. So it has to be true, all right? It has to be true from the CDC, but I didn't realize this. So I had heard this before, but I'm sure this was, they said this, that with the flu, that you can actually start infecting people about a day or so before you start to show symptoms. It also said this was another part, and this was the date of this was pre-COVID when I was looking this up. It said about one-third of flu cases are asymptomatic. Did y'all know that? That's what I read, one-third. And so, you know, if that's true, then why haven't we been taking these precautions for years? It almost seems like that some of these things were put in place to control us. You know, but I digress on that, all right? So I'm just saying, we've heard a lot of information on things. But one of the things we have heard, and this is, again, a phenomenon we don't know for sure because we haven't had enough time. We've heard about long COVID. Y'all have heard of that, right? And some of y'all that have dealt with COVID and had it, maybe you still have. And this is those who had COVID who still are affected by it a year or two later. And we don't know the long term because there hasn't been long term, right? It's only been around for a couple of years. But that the indication is that there could be some long term effects from COVID. And I don't know if that's true or not, again, because we don't know. We do know some have had effects that have lasted longer than others. But I want to talk this morning about this. We're in Joshua 23, and the Bible tells us there that Joshua is old and stricken in age. And so that means he's really old, all right? That means he's really old, about my age. And so he's old and stricken in age, and he's lived a long life. And in fact, Joshua, we'll talk about this throughout this chapter, is a little different. Joshua and Caleb are the only two people from their whole generation. So we think of a generation as maybe every 20 years or so. And so that's it. I mean, everyone else around them is at least probably somewhere 20 years, if not more, but around 20 years younger than they are. And they're the only two left. And so Joshua here is older than anyone else that's there, and he's been around a long time. But I want to talk this morning, we talked about the victorious Christian life throughout the book of Joshua. I want to talk this morning about the long victorious Christian life. In other words, the long-term effects of salvation. Hey, if you've been saved, if you know you're on your way to heaven, what are the long-term effects? What are the long-term effects of spiritual decisions that you make? And Joshua is here in the latter parts of this book, and he's old, and really, we get to the next chapter, and he's about to, not far away from when God calls him home. But he has some advice. Has some advice to that next generation. Again, he's talking to people who were 20 years, if not more, many of them much younger than that, than he is. And so he's trying to pass on to them. And in fact, as you study this, we won't take time to do all this morning. But Joshua chapter 23 and even 24, especially 23, sounds a lot like Joshua chapter 1. When God was giving Joshua counsel on what to do. And he was telling Joshua, hey, here's what you need to do. And so this morning, this is some counsel from Joshua to the next generation. Saying if you're going to see some long-term effects, if you want to see a long victorious Christian life, not just starting for the Lord. Now listen, this morning, if you've never been saved and you haven't started on your journey for the Lord, you're here and that's great, but in order to start that journey for God, there has to be a relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, Christianity is not about religion. It's not about even what church you go to. It's not about denomination. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so if you don't have that, there's been no beginning. You think about this. We have our children that are born. We sang for a birthday today for Brother Josh. And I think about my children that I have. You know, my relationship with my children started when? The day they were born, right? The date they were born, that's when our relationship started. Now, they couldn't talk very well back then. They could cry a little bit. But our relationship started right then. You know when your relationship with Jesus Christ starts? The day you were born again. And if you don't have that day you were born again, then that's no better than somebody who wasn't born. There's no relationship there, so it starts there. But once there is a relationship, then are you going to have a victorious Christian life? Sometimes it's easy to start out, but is it going to be a long, victorious Christian life? Joshua stands up in front of these people and is as an example of someone who's given his complete, whole life over
to God. And God has used him for decade upon decade upon decade. And now he has some counsel. And I would say the same thing that would apply to us this morning if we want a long, victorious Christian life. Let's start in verse number 6. Verse number 6. He says, be therefore. In fact, let me back up to verse 1 to show you what he's doing here. It says in verse 1, he's old and stricken in age. Verse 2, and Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, for their officers. So he's in particular talking to the leadership here. Okay, in the next chapter, he'll talk to all the people. But in particular, those who are in charge, those who are in leadership position, again, much younger than Joshua, but those that have been put in a leadership position. So back to verse number 6, he says, be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefore to the right hand or to the left. Number one thing he says is this. He says, turn not aside from the word of God. If you're going to live a long, victorious Christian life, you better stay close to this book. Hey, don't turn aside from the truths and the principles that are found in God's word. Those truths and principles have worked for thousands of years. And they work because God said them, God gave them to us. If you're going to see success in your Christian life, long-term success, then don't turn aside from the Word of God. It says that to keep and to do all that is written. Not to pick and choose, no, to keep and do all that is written therein. And it's interesting, the same words that are used in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua says to do this, he says you need to be courageous. What does that mean? It means it's not always going to be easy. To do what God said is not always easy. Hey, not everyone around you is going to agree with that. Not everybody that you go to work with or that you get to see is going to be on the same page you are. It's going to take some courage. Hey, it takes some courage to be different from the world. But if we're going to follow God's word, we have no other choice, right? If we're going to follow what he told us to do, then we must be different. We must be courageous. And he says, don't get distracted. He says in verse 6, don't turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You know, there's some things, to be honest with you, that are not necessarily sin, but they will distract us from the Word of God. And they will keep us from getting in God's Word. And they'll just get a little off to the right or a little off to the left. And God said, no, you stay straight ahead. You stay straight ahead. You follow. You say, well, I have children and I'm trying to do what God's Word says and I'm trying to discipline my children. I'm trying to love my children. I'm trying to teach my children. I'm trying to make sure in the home that we keep away those things that would lead them into sin. I'm trying to do all those things. And I tell you, they're still not always doing right. Let me tell you something. Hey, don't quit. And don't give up. God has given us those principles. We're supposed to live according to God. Say, man, I've been praying for somebody and praying for this. And man, I've seen God's not answering. Listen, you count on the promises of God. I can't guarantee you that God's going to do everything you want. But I can guarantee you this. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Hey, we know that. We know that God will not do anything to us as we will serve him that would not be good for us. And so be courageous. Don't move to the right or the left. And he mentions in verse number 7, the reason it's so important to turn not aside from the word of God, that ye come not among these nations, those that remain among you, neither make mention of the names of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. He says, man, it's so important to keep what the Word of God says so you don't come among those nations. You don't associate with them. You don't begin to take in what they're doing. And I like what he says there. He says, don't even mention the names of their gods. You know what I want to do with my children? I want to keep them as innocent as possible when it comes to the things of the world. Now, I can't protect them from everything, and we understand that, but I tell you, I've heard Christian parents say, well, you know, they're going to hear that somewhere. They may hear it somewhere, but I don't want them here in my house. I don't want to hear it when I'm in charge. I have a responsibility to try to teach them what's right. Man, Josh says, don't even mention the names of their gods. Don't even talk about them. Of course, it says, don't serve them. Don't bow down to them. Don't get them where they want to follow the things of the world. It's very difficult for our children to do right when we're trying to say, do this, do this, do this, and they watch our lives and we're wrapped up in the things of the world. Hey, we as one generation need to pass on to the next generation, this world's not my home, I'm just passing through. Hey, these things of the world, they're not that important. And our children need to see that, the next generation needs to see that in the way we live. So the first thing he says to the people of Israel and these leaders, he says, don't turn away from God's word. Hey, I've given you the word of God, you stay with that. And then Secondly, along with that, look at verse number 8. But cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. Number one, he says, don't turn aside from the word of God. Number two, he says, cleave unto the Lord your God. That same word, of course, the Bible says we're supposed to leave your father and mother and cleave unto your wife. That instruction was given to Adam all the way back in the Garden of Eden. Instruction given again in the New Testament by Jesus. When somebody gets married, we've got a couple of our young men that are getting married here this summer. What are they supposed to do? They're supposed to leave their father and mother. It doesn't mean they don't ever talk to them again, but it does mean that they leave that home and they cleave unto that new relationship with that wife. And they cleave unto them, and they too are as one, the Bible says. The instruction that Joshua gives the next generation, he says, you cleave unto the Lord your God. Hey, you know what? If we're going to have a long, victorious Christian life, then our relationship with Jesus has to grow closer and closer and closer. You say, well, mine's about the same as it was 10, 15 years ago. Let me tell you something. Hey, if you're not growing in the Lord, that's opportunity for backsliding. Now, you better be growing in your relationship with God and closer to Him each day. It should be that, well, I got saved 20 years ago. It should be that we're in the Word of God more than we were. It should be we're praying more than we were. It should be we're trying to witness more than we were. And be careful about getting away from God. Instead, cleave unto the Lord your God. Why should we do that? Verse number 9, for the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. Hey, it says there that no man could stand. No man has been able to stand before you until this day. God's the one that's driven out those that would destroy you. Look at verse number 10. One man of you shall chase 1,000 for the Lord your God, for he it is that fighteth for you. Hey, God has fought for you. And the odds have been great against us, but when we have God with us, there's nothing we can't do. Nothing the Bible says is impossible with God. And so God's been the one that has given you the victories that you have. He's the one that's fought for you. And look at the end of verse 10. As He hath promised you. We talked about standing on the promises, singing this morning. Hey, God has fulfilled His promises to you. You say, well, you don't know what it's like. I've had this that should have happened, and I wish this had been differently, and God didn't work this out of the way. Hey, let me tell you something. God fulfills His promises. He does. He fulfills them. And God has given us the victories that we have, provided those things for us. And Joshua says, number one, you don't turn aside from the Lord God. Number two, you cleave and you get as close as possible to the Lord your God. And that will lead us to the third point, verse number 11. Take good heed, therefore, to yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. He says, don't turn aside from the Word of God, cleave unto the Lord your God, and then love the Lord your God. He says, take good heed. That means pay attention. Hey, let me ask you this morning, do you really love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? You know, we're supposed to, and God commands us to love others, to love, we talked about this in Sunday school a few weeks ago. We're supposed to love all those who come in contact with. We understand that. But there's a special relationship, of course, we have with our family, with those that, man, we love. You have a spouse, you love that spouse. You have children, you love those children. You have parents, you love those parents. Let me ask you something. Do we really, really love God? You love Him. And we know He loves us, yes. But do we love Him? You know, when you love someone, you'll do anything for them, right? I mean, there is nothing you wouldn't do if you truly love someone. Whatever they may ask you, whatever they may desire, man, do we really love the Word of God? He says, take good heed, pay attention. And then also notice what it says, take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves. In other words, don't worry about everyone else. No, it's not, and they need to love God more. Because here's what will happen if we're not careful. Sometimes we try to start living for the Lord, and we're trying to do those things that are right, and that pride will start to come in. And we'll say, man, you know, they don't love God like they should. No. It's not about someone else. It's about you. Do you love the Lord? Yeah, but my wife, she needs to do a better job. Well, it's not about her. My husband, I mean, if he loved the Lord, no, it's not about him. Oh, my children, I wish that, no. Oh, mom and dad, if I had a mom and dad that really loved, man, they don't do it. No, it's not about them. It's about you this morning. Do you love the Lord? Joshua says if you're going to have a long, victorious Christian life, there's got to be a love for God. a turn not aside from the Word of God. Cleave unto the Lord and love the Lord your God. Then look at verse number 13. If we're going to have a long, victorious Christian life, verse 13, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. Let me tell you this morning, if you're going to have a long, victorious Christian life, there's a couple things you need to know with a certainty about the Lord. And it gives us here these things that Joshua talks about. In fact, go back to verse number 12. Else, if you do in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations. Instead of cleaving unto the Lord, if you go and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, in verse 12, and even these that remain among you and shall make marriages with them and go in unto them, and they do. So if you start to intermingle with these people, you start to hang out with them, you start to marry them, and you start to compromise what you've worked so hard to establish in your Christian life, and you start hanging out with those people of the world and the things of the world, and those things become important to you, I want you to know a few things for a certainty. You begin to live your life the way you want to away from God's Word. Here's some things you can go ahead and count on. Number one, in verse number 13, he says, "Your Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations before you." Let me tell you something. You're going to lose the power of God. That's what's going to happen. Hey, the power of God is what drove them out. And you begin to follow the world, and you begin to build your philosophy of what you're going to do in your home and in your life and the way you live on the things of the world instead of the things of God, you're going to lose the power of God on your life. It's not going to be there. Hey, and I think about those through the years who have had, people I've seen that had God's power upon them. Gotten away from God, they've lost that power. And then let me tell you this as well. Look at verse number 13. The middle of the verse, "But they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you." Let me tell you something. Not only do you lose the power of God, but these things of the world will begin to hurt you. You're going to lose the protection of God. Now, you go ahead and do what you want with your family, but I'm telling you what, you're going to lose God's protection over your family. Job prayed a hedge about his children, right? He wanted to see God protect his family and his children. Let me tell you, you go away from God, you're going to go ahead and throw away the promises of God because you've done your own thing. No more is that protection there. Now, you know what's more important? I'm glad if you have an alarm system in your home, that's great. Those things are great for waking you up in the middle of the night, scaring you half to death, and causing somebody to walk around with a gun and hurt somebody, right, if you're not careful. So, but you have that. That's great. And but how's the protection system, spiritually speaking? Hey, you know this, and depends on, of course, these days we've got more modern things and everything's hooked up wireless. But before we had all this stuff, you had an alarm system. If your power went out, what happened? The alarm system wasn't any good. Hey, let me tell you something this morning. If we don't have the power of God in our lives and we're not living for God the way, that protection, that alarm system is not any good. Hey, God's not going to continue to protect those who do what they want to rather than what He said to do. Know for a certainty that I will not drive them out, that those they will be a thorn to you. They'll hurt you. And look at verse 14. "And behold, this day I'm going the way of all theirs," Joshua says, "I'm headed to that grave soon. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls." They know with a certainty that God, what He's going to do, but know in your hearts what He's already done. If we're honest this morning, if we're truly honest, look at the rest of verse 14. "That not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you." If we're really honest before God, not one good thing has failed. I didn't say everything in your life has been great, but I'm saying what God has promised, what God has said He's going to do, not one good thing has failed. You know why? Because God is always good. Always. Always. Not one good thing has failed. And then, look at verse 14. "Know this in your hearts as well." It says, "Of all the good things that the Lord your God spake concerning you, all are come to pass unto you. Not one thing hath failed thereof." He says, not one good thing has failed. Also, he says, what God spake in His Word has come to pass. What God said has happened. God is always good and God is always right. I can't say that without thinking about Brother John Bishop, evangelist, who's been here a couple times. And most of y'all know his story, but man, his health is not as good as it used to be. I'd love to have him back in sometimes. But man, he had meningitis. In fact, I was at college my senior year, and his son came to college, and he came there with them. And this was many years ago. And so he was there, and I didn't really know who he was at that point. He ran a camp in Arkansas, and I remember him being there and talking to him. Well, about a year later, he got meningitis, totally lost his memory, he couldn't remember anything, didn't know how to walk, didn't know how to talk, didn't know how to do anything. And again, some of you, he's been here and given his testimony, and even now he can't speak everything correctly. His wife, man, what a wonderful, wonderful lady, and she loved him so much, she began to teach him how to eat, how to talk, how to walk, how to do everything, and still has a lot of health issues, still has never, his memory's never come back, doesn't remember anything. From before then, and goes around the country now and preaches. But one of the things his theme is, says, God is always good and God is always right. He didn't understand why it happened to him, why it happened to his family, why he had to go through all that. But let me tell you something this morning. God's always good and God's always right. Know for a certainty what God's going to do. Know in your hearts what God has already done. Then look at verse 16. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. Just know this too, the anger of the Lord will be kindled against those who go against him. Listen, God still loves you, but God's not going to allow you to go away from him and not see consequences for that. He says, for those that transgress, in verse 16, his covenant. For those who begin to serve other gods, they will perish quickly. It doesn't necessarily mean, be honest with you, that they're going to die right away, although they could. But it does mean this. There's going to be no power there. There's going to be no protection there. There's going to be nothing they accomplish for God. I'm going to tell you this morning, you compromise, you go away from God and live the way you want to, you're not going to accomplish anything for God. And it's so sad to see. Those who don't see the long-term effects. And those who have been saved, and they've started out living the victorious Christian life, and then they don't finish well, they don't end well, they don't serve God continually. I've thought about this, and when I was growing up, of course, most of you know our story, and my dad got called to preach, and I was just a little boy, really just born, and he went off to Bible college. And there at Bible college, there wasn't a lot of students there. It just had started. Back then it was Lynchburg Baptist College. Today it's Liberty University, but back then it was just Lynchburg Baptist College there in Lynchburg, Virginia. And so Dad was there, and not a whole lot of students there, but he and Mom and my older sister and me were there, and so they would be around the other students, but especially there'd be, those of y'all have been in college, there'd be some other married students, and so that's who, since they were married, had children, that's sort of who they gravitated to, rather than the young students that were just coming in as freshmen. And so there, the best friend my dad had while he was there was a man by the name of Louis Zachary, and many of y'all have been here a long time, you remember Pastor Louis Zachary. Louis Zachary had his wife, and he had two children. If I remember right, they were fairly close in age. He had a daughter who was older than his son, fairly close in age to us. But what I remember is this. I don't remember much at all when they were at college, but I remember once they got out and Dad came here to this church. And Pastor Louis Zachary went back to North Carolina, to Mebane, North Carolina, around Burlington area there. God had a hold of him, and he started a church there. And I was down there, in fact, just in the last year. I hadn't been there forever. And I was at my mother-in-law's, and about 20 minutes there, I drove to where the church is still there today, Agape Baptist Church in Mebane, North Carolina. And he started that church. And let me tell you something, God did something. Now, you had, several hundred people saved, baptized, and that church was on fire for God. Man, they're doing something for God. And then Pastor Louis Zachary came here, as some of y'all remember. And I remember he'd come to our house, and he was just a big guy, I don't know, probably 6'2", and just strong. Man, and as a kid, you know, I was 5, 6, 7 years old. It's like the strongest guy I'd ever seen in my life. And we had a little basketball goal in my backyard that was probably about 9 feet tall, and he'd dunk on that thing, and then he was just sort of a larger than life person, and really just a hero in my life, and somebody I looked up to and just thought he was the greatest thing ever. In fact, his only drawback was he was a UNC Tar Heel fan, he said God made the sky Carolina blue for a reason, all right, and he was just a wonderful, wonderful guy. And in fact, when I got older, and I remember this again, Jason and Becca weren't as old, so I probably don't remember as much. But and when I got older, Dad found out where he was living there off of 85. And so when I would go down to college, this was I don't remember if they did this too, but I know I did several times. We'd go down to college, and Dad and Mom would be taking me, and we'd stop there and go see him. And at that time, he's living there in Mebane and just not too far off 85. He had some nice old cars that he collected. Man, they're beautiful. And every time we'd see him, he'd do this. He'd shake my hand when I left. And I was a college kid. And this is not, no exaggeration. Every time he shook my hand, I'd take my hand away, and there'd be a $100 bill in my hand. Every time. So we went that. I tried to go every week. We tried, all right, let's go back. No, he did that, and he would do that every time. I love that man, and he was such an influence. I mean, again, I don't remember, you know, conversations with him or anything like that. I just looked up to him, and, man, he influenced my life. And in fact, my wife and I, of course, we met. She was living in Durham, North Carolina. Didn't know him or anything like that, but we were dating, and we were getting married down there in Durham, which wasn't far. So I took my wife by. I took my wife by his house. And we went by and saw him, and we said, hey, man, I told him, I really would love for you to come to our wedding. And I didn't think he would come. My older sister had invited him way back when she got married before then, and he didn't come out. But man, I remember we got married, and he showed up in the back and was there at our wedding. And I can't remember if I got to shake his hand or I don't know at the wedding. But man, he was just a wonderful, wonderful man. But tell you what happened. He was on fire for God. And in the late 70s, man, that church was on fire. It was growing. And his wife got tired of the ministry and got into some trouble of her own, and she left him. Well, he was devastated. And I remember, I didn't know all was going on back then, but I remember he went into a van, said, "Look, I can't pastor a church without my wife with me." And she had divorced him and ended up getting married to someone else. And he said, "I can't keep pastoring church." So he went to evangelism. He did that for a couple years. And then you know what happened? He just got away from God. And I remember we'd go down when we take those trips down to college, and he just wasn't living the life. He wasn't in church. And I thought, man, this guy. And he did. And he go on visitation with them. Those of y'all remember him preaching? He couldn't go to a door to talk to somebody without crying. Start crying. And he started sharing the gospel with them. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Man, God used him. He used him in this church, man. He couldn't preach a message without. He's a big old guy, man. So you didn't make fun of him for crying at all. But man, he started weeping and crying about what God had done for him. But you know what happened? He got away from God. And you could say, man, he didn't get treated right. He didn't. There's no reason his wife should have left him. She's got tired of the ministry. She didn't want to be around him anymore. So, man, that wasn't fair. No, it wasn't fair. But you know what happened? He didn't stay with it. He didn't consider the long-term effects. And God quit using him. He did. Man, I love him, still love him, and he passed away several years ago. Passed away about 12 years ago, and Dad and Mom went to the funeral, and
And this morning as I'm preaching, he and Dad are up there together. And man, when they would get together, they had a great time. They're having a great time this morning. They are. He's in heaven. I'm telling you, if he could get up and preach this message this morning, he'd tell you this. Hey, man, stick with it. Hey, stick with it. Hey, don't, we said, well, I haven't been treated fairly. Well, he wasn't treated fairly. It doesn't matter. This didn't work out the way I wanted to. Hey, let me tell you something. Are you in it for the long term? In the long term. And make sure you decide, I'm going to finish well. Hey, this isn't just something I started, I'm going to do for a few years. No, no, no. I'm going to serve God long term. I mean the long, victorious Christian life. Joshua said, let me tell you something. If you can do it, you better stay in the Word of God. You better cleave unto the Lord. You better love the Lord your God. Know what's going to happen. You get away from Him. This morning, do you want to live a long, victorious Christian life? Hey, you said, well, I'm young. I mean, there's young people here. Hey, no, you make a decision now. Say, I'm going to stick with it, man. I'm going to stop. Hey, God's got something He wants me to do beyond Him. That's great. You can do it for 5, 6, 7, 10, 15. No, say, I mean, I'm in it for good. I'm in it for good. I want to live a long, victorious Christian life. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, I thank you for those that have been, I just think about as I've talked about just for a few minutes, those who have been examples and influences of my life. I'll never forget that. Lord, and I thank you for those people. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to learn. I pray for this morning. The only reason I go through that is to help us to learn. Lord, it's not just something that we can assume, oh, we're going to keep. No, we have to decide. We have to decide we're going to live for you. We have to be strong and courageous and stay in the Word of God. We can't just go and do what we want and think that it's not going to affect us if we're not in God's. No, we have to stay in the Word of God. We got to follow it. We can't just go through the motions, Lord, and not love you and cleave unto you and expect your blessing still to be there. No, that has to be a consistent, continual relationship with you and growth. So I pray this morning, Lord, you convict our hearts. Help us to be in it for the long haul, a long, victorious Christian life. Pray that for each of us this morning. In Jesus' name, everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking around, let me ask you this morning, and it wasn't a salvation message, but there's not going to be a journey. I mentioned Brother Lewis Zachary. He's in heaven today, not because he preached well, because he won a lot of people. Lord, he's in heaven today because he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And that's what got him to heaven. It wasn't his works or lack thereof. It's what, for all of us, the reason my dad's in heaven today is not because he's a preacher. No, it's because October 29, 1966, he bowed his head and asked Jesus Christ into his heart. If you're here this morning and you say, listen, I've done that before. I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. I know if I was to die, I may not be living right. I may not do everything right. But I know one thing. I'm going to go to heaven when I die because of Jesus Christ. If you can say that this morning, you just slip your hand up like I'm doing, say I'm not saved. You can put your hand right back down. If you're here this morning and say this, say I'm not sure about my salvation. Let me tell you something. You can't live for God if you don't have a relationship with Him. If you're here this morning, I won't embarrass you at all, but I want you to be honest before God. And if you say, I'm just not sure if I die today, I go to heaven, would you pray for me? If you're like this morning, again, I won't call on you, won't embarrass you. If you just do this, though, if you just slip your hand up, say, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm just not sure about my salvation. If you're saved this morning, are you going to live a long, victorious Christian life? When I was been married for several years, I wrote a letter to Brother Lewis Zachary. And told him and thanked him for all he had done to influence my life. Let me tell you something. That man influenced my life for good, and I'm eternally thankful for that. I am. I'm not mad at him, upset with him. I'm so thankful for what he did for me. And he's a wonderful, wonderful man. But let me tell you something. He got away from God. Hey, he didn't have the long, victorious Christian life that he could have. Hey, decide this morning that I'm going to have a long, victorious Christian life. As the music plays this morning, you come forward as the Lord spoke to you. Thanks for being here. I went a little longer than I normally do. All right, I normally preach till someone falls asleep, and y'all are all awake. All right, so I kept going, but a little longer. Apologize for that, and so got in here a little later. But be back tonight anyway, 6 o'clock for the service. Brother Jason will be preaching for us, and then I'm sorry about this. We got a baptism tonight after the service, so looking forward to that. So we'll be back for that, and enjoy the weather this week. Enjoy today. And I look forward, if not seeing you tonight, then seeing you next week. Father, again, we thank you for all you do for us. Give us a great afternoon. And just thank you for your blessings in our lives. I do pray, Lord, you give us the strength. Lord, it's not easy always to do right. Lord, but help us not to just, not just for today. Lord, for future. Lord, for the lives you have for us. And Lord, for the example to the next generation. Help us to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.